the Human Adventure. Revere Copper and Brass Incorporated, founded in 1801 by Paul Revere, presents The Human Adventure, in cooperation with the faculty of the University of Chicago. Today, as our special guests, Clifton Fadiman and Colonel Stupnagel. Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. A special announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, today the Human Adventure is again going to attempt a daring, amazing, incredible experiment. We shall explain the Einstein Theory.
Where's my hat?
Hey, what's the matter?
The Einstein Theory.
Oh, it's not that bad, Colonel Stupnagel. At the University of Chicago, freshmen now get a good grip on the Einstein Theory in 2 weeks. Why shouldn't we try to describe it?
Look, Mr. Fadiman, I've listened to this program for weeks, but Einstein, I can't even figure out the Ein, to say nothing of the Stein.
Now, listen. This is a challenge worth accepting. We'll take it slow. And if the going gets tough, say so, and we'll give you a musical brief. What do you say?
Okay, Mr. Fadiman. But have that baton ready, maestro.
Now, the first thing to do is simply to read the Einstein Theory.
U sub x equals quantity U sub x times plus z times quantity 1 minus z times U sub x over c squared. All divided by 1 minus v squared over c squared.
And that's the Einstein Theory.
Some of it.
No wonder only 12 men in the world can understand it. I bet it's even worse than that. I'll bet only 12 men in the universe can understand it. Hey, music!
Yes, it took the Einstein Theory to bring Clifton Fadiman and Colonel Stupnagel together. Revere welcomes them both. And ladies and gentlemen, Revere knows well how precious each of these post-war days is to the nation and how crippling to industry and employment a shortage of essential materials could be. Fortunately, Revere metals can make as fine household fixtures as bomb fuses, as excellent radiators for automobiles as for tanks. No difficult reconversion problems have stifled their outpouring. So Revere copper, brass, bronze, magnesium, aluminum, and steel are already being used in thousands of plants to shorten the period of reconversion and ward off unemployment. But we are able and eager to do more. Our ability to produce and to give quick, efficient service has been greatly enlarged. Revere technical advisors are armed with new knowledge and experience. New methods, metals, and machines may cut costs and save priceless time. All these new resources are at your service now for cooperation in the great human adventure, the service of man. In the awesome blackness of interstellar space, the planets, the stars, suns, moons, and the million-fold bodies of the heavens, strewn like ashes in the universe, move in their endless orbit. How are they held in place? Through what do they and their shafts of light and beams of sound travel? These and similar questions have for ages plagued the mind of man. Man, a pinpoint creature on a fleck of dust in the corridors of its infinity.
So what?
Beg your pardon, Colonel?
So what's that corny language got to do with the Einstein Theory?
Well, those are science's $64 question. You want to take a crack at them?
Not me, Mr. Fadiman. I'm just a pinpoint. A fat pinpoint.
Oh, come on, Colonel. Try.
Mr. Fadiman, I can't answer those questions. I can't even ask them.
Well, neither could science before Einstein. All they had was the theory of the ether.
Ether? Oh, is that the stuff that put you to sleep?
No, Colonel. You're thinking of the anesthetic. This other ether was a theoretical medium filling space. The only explanation science had for how electricity, magnetism, light waves, and the force of gravity could be carried.
I don't get it.
But science did. Science used the theory of the ether as a tool of research for physics, the science dealing with the physical properties of all matter and energy.
Uh-huh. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Well, it's really pretty simple, Colonel.
Look, even as a baby, I wasn't smart.
Say, that reminds me.
Reminds you of what? That you just snapped your finger?
Just listen. It'll make you feel better.
The year is 1881. It is morning, and the sun is streaming into a quiet, comfortable parlor in Wurttemberg, Germany, where a little boy sits on the floor near his mother, building a tower of glass.
Oh, Doctor, I'm so worried. 2 years old, and he doesn't talk yet.
Now, Paula. You know all children are different.
But he says not a word. Oh, Doctor, do you think our boy is subnormal?
With a smart woman like you, Paula, for a mother?
Oh, Doctor.
With this business of talking, one can never tell. You know, it is even possible, Mrs. Einstein, that little Albert will turn out to be quite bright.
Well, what do you know?
See? If that kid could invent the Einstein theory, you ought to be able to understand it.
Oh, is that so? How old was Einstein when he first learned to talk?
I believe he was 2.
Well, I'm smarter than he was. I couldn't talk till I was 3.
Good. Now let's get on with the theory.
The year is now 1900. The place, the Polytechnic Institute in Switzerland. Albert Einstein climbs the winding stairway to visit his professor.
Herr Professor, if you have a minute.
Einstein. I judge from your face you did not like my lecture about the ether.
Well, it seems to me that the whole ether theory is too self-contradictory. Now, if the ether theory offers one useful, clear-cut fact...
One clear-cut fact. Very well, I'll give you one. The ether is motionless.
Then there ought to be some way in which we can measure the absolute motion of the Earth through the ether.
An excellent suggestion, Herr Einstein. An excellent suggestion. It's already been tried.
Yeah, what did they find?
Well, perhaps you'd better read the report of the experiment yourself. I think you'll find it listed under the Michelson-Morley.
The Michelson-Morley experiment, famed in the annals of science. For the first time in history, man hoped to measure the slowing down of a light ray traveling against the current in the Earth's enveloping sea of motionless ether.
What does the meter show, Morley?
Nothing. Nothing, Michelson. No slowing down.
No. No slowing down.
There's no difference in the speed of the light ray.
Why, man, that's just like saying the Earth doesn't move. Let's reverse the crossbars and try it again. What do you get this time?
No result. Try again. Einstein. So you have read the Michelson-Morley experiment?
Yes, sir, Professor.
And what did you conclude? That the ether is a fiction, or perhaps that the Earth doesn't move at all?
No, it is something much simpler than that.
All the scientists of the world have failed to answer it. You have a simple answer. Well, what is it?
The experiment proves simply that it is impossible to measure absolute motion.
It's impossible to measure absolute motion. Einstein's professor laughed at that, Colonel.
Quite a gag, huh?
Why, the idea of that smart aleck disagreeing with those other scientists.
Why, ridiculous, isn't it, Mr. Fadden?
Certainly.
I bet they flunked him.
No. Einstein graduated, but he was still worried about that Michelson-Morley experiment. He finally decided, if you can't measure ether, ignore it. If you do ignore ether, then there's no fixed point of reference. Hence, moving objects can be measured only if you regard them as relative one to the other.
That's very nice. But would you mind repeating that?
Why, gladly, sir. If you can't measure ether...
Thanks, now I understand. Is that the conclusion?
Oh, no. Einstein only started from that point.
Only started? Hey, taxi!
Now, look. You just relax for 20 seconds while we have program identification.
20 seconds? I need 20 minutes.
Well, maybe 20 seconds is 20 minutes. Einstein says time is relative, too, you know.
Oh, hey, please, boys, amuse. I mean, hey, music, boys, please.
You're listening to an explanation of the Einstein theory on the human adventure, presented by Revere Copper and Brass Incorporated, founded 144 years ago for the defense of the nation.
Now, round 2, the explanation of the Einstein theory. Are you ready, Supnagel?
Ready as I'll ever be, Mr. Fetterman. I'll come out slugging.
Okay. Well, first we'd better start with light waves. Turn off the light for a moment. Okay, now turn the lights on. To us, you see, light seems instantaneous. That's point one. Point two is that you can't observe anything without light.
How about dark?
No, no, no. But the fact is, you know, that light waves take time to travel.
Yes, the trains are very crowded these days.
Aren't they? Well, it's true that light waves don't travel with a slow motion we can see, like 10 miles an hour. Or even the quick speed of 1,000 miles an hour. But with the unbelievable ultimate of all possible speeds, 186,000 miles a second.
Gee, that's so fast it seems instantaneous to me. Why is it important?
That's a good question, Colonel.
You got a good answer?
Well, Einstein has. Those split seconds add up to years and centuries in the immensity of the universe.
I knew it was too easy. I don't get it.
All right, I'll explain it. Let's take a trip.
Hey, where am I?
On a rocket ship.
Well, where am I going?
To Nova Persei.
What's that?
A star, almost 200 light years away.
Gosh, this is a spooky place. I better get out and look around. Say, look at that funny green guy with the yellow nose. He's got a telescope. Hey, what are you looking at?
The Earth.
That sounds like the shadow. You see anything interesting?
I do.
Can I look?
You can.
Oh, Danny, wait till I focus this thing. Why? It's a battle. But it's not like wars nowadays. Those uniforms. Why, look, that's Napoleon.
Who is Napoleon?
Who was Napoleon, you mean? He's dead. There's nothing left but the bony part.
Ted, impossible. You saw for yourself. It is happening this very moment.
Brother, this place isn't only spooky, it's nuts. I'm getting out of here. I gotta get down to Earth.
Why, your little adventure was very down to Earth. Very practical and scientific, Stu.
Mr. Fetterman, please.
Now, remember, light travels 186,000 miles a second. That means that in one day, light travels 16 billion miles. In one year, light travels 6 trillion miles.
Gee, Whittaker, that's quite a distance. That's even more than 5 trillion miles.
And Nova Persei is almost 200 times as far away as that. It took the light rays from the Battle of Waterloo 130 years to travel from the Earth to Nova Persei.
Welcome home, Colonel.
You, what a trip, Mr. Fadden.
But it proves Einstein's point. Things don't happen, or at least they can't be observed to happen, simultaneously in space. But only after the light rays have reached us.
Well, what do you know?
And Einstein also knew that the speed of light has one single unchanging value, 186,000 miles per second. All experiments proved it.
Then light isn't relative?
No, it isn't, and a good thing, too, because the speed of light is the most important constant in modern physics. But any measurement of motion, the Einstein theory says, therefore must be relative.
Well, I don't get that idea of the relative measurement of motion. Is that the same as when a... Or is that the same as... The...
Only partly, Colonel. Now what? Here we go again.
Hey, where am I?
You're on board ship at sea.
Well, where am I going?
How do you know you're going anywhere? You can't see the shore, can you?
Nope, only straight down. Hello, Fishy.
But you see that piece of paper on the water, don't you? It floats backwards.
Well, then we must be moving forward.
Are you? Are you really going forward? Or is the wind and the motion of the sea forcing the paper backward? How do you know the ship is moving?
Oh, now I've got you. Look, there's another ship. You see it over there? There, the captains are saluting each other. I know we're moving because we're passing that ship.
Don't be too sure. Maybe you're not moving at all. Maybe the other ship is passing you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm not that dumb. you keep on the same course, you're bound to hit land sooner or later. Look at Columbus.
A very fine city. You say you're bound to hit land sooner or later?
Yes, and if you figure it out, you can tell how fast you've been moving.
How?
Because if you measure from land, you have a fixed point.
I'm sorry, Colonel, but the shore is not a fixed point. It is rotating with the Earth, and the Earth is swinging around the sun. And the whole solar system revolves with a galaxy we call the Milky Way. And all the galaxies of galaxies move on in space.
Look, Mr. Fadiman, once more. Could we make with the music, please? Thanks. Gee, I'm certainly glad to get off that ship. Even the sea was getting green around the gills. Say, there is an end to all this moving about, isn't there, Mr. Fadiman? Please?
No. And that's the chief thing you must know if you're going to understand the Einstein theory, Colonel. Mm-hmm. Everything in the universe is moving all the time. The motion of a single object cannot be measured or even detected except as it moves relative to another moving object. And that object is moving relative to another moving object. And that object is moving relative to still another moving object. Relative, you see, is the key word. And the relativity of all measurements is the key idea.
And that's it, huh?
That's what?
The Einstein theory. Well, it's been a lot of fun. I'll be seeing you. I got to go see a man about another theory.
Now, just a minute, Colonel. We're not through yet.
You mean there's more to the Einstein theory?
Oh, sure. For example, there's the fourth dimension.
The what?
The fourth dimension. Time is the fourth dimension.
Length, width, height, three dimensions. So far, so good. Now you got to add time.
That's right.
It comes out mud.
No, Colonel, it's very simple. Think back on the scenes we've dramatized so far. They all prove that to measure anything in space, motion and light are involved.
Right.
They also prove that motion and the passage of light take time. Therefore, time is a dimension of measurement itself. Whenever you measure distances in outer space, time enters into the picture.
Fine. Well, I'll be running along now. Thanks very much.
Oh, why are you leaving?
We're through, aren't we?
Oh, no. There's still some more.
Oh, that's what I thought.
In 1910, Albert Einstein, now associate professor of theoretical physics at the University of Zurich, was still leading the struggling life of the poor scientist.
Are you still working, Albert? You promised to go to the concert with us.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm worrying about my beloved theory.
So?
We should be able to apply the principle of relativity to all kinds of accelerated motion that could possibly happen in the universe. For example, relativity should account for the force of gravity.
But that seems impossible.
If it is impossible, then the whole principle of relativity is no good. No, I still have a lot of work to do on it.
Will it take you long?
10 years back.
Well, Albert, we'll be back again in 10 years.
For 5 years, Albert Einstein pitted his brilliant mind against this new challenge to the validity of his theory. And in 1915, now a professor at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Berlin, he at long last published his general theory of relativity and revealed the answer to the riddle of gravity, the mysterious force which, like the hands of an invisible giant, pulls falling objects toward the Earth.
We cannot repeal the law of gravity. We must explain it. I believe we have been in error in how we have viewed the force of gravity. Perhaps it is not simply a motionless force acting eternally between two bodies. Perhaps gravity is the natural result of motion.
Now I'm really confused, Mr. Fadiman. Einstein says perhaps gravity is the natural result of motion. It goes round and round and it comes out here. But what do I do with it?
Well, Colonel, what is motion? Can you tell me?
Motion?
Mm-hmm.
Why, motion is movement. Like the rumba. That's motion. That's nice motion.
It certainly is. But I'll give you a better example to help you understand Einstein's theory on gravity. Ever see a motorcycle marathon? You see, Colonel, the motorcycle races round and round the curved circle drive, 50, 60, 90 miles an hour. The curves are banked. The cycle and its rider are almost horizontal going around the curve. Yet they stay put. They don't fall over. Why?
Because if they did, they'd break their doggone neck. No, it's probably gravity, isn't it?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Well, The centrifugal force resulting from the accelerated motion of the motorcycle is what most people would say is what holds the cycle to the road. But Einstein asks, just how is it possible to distinguish between the single result of accelerated motion and a force like gravity?
I don't know.
An honest answer. Well, I'm sorry, but you'll have to take another trip before you'll understand the answer.
Another trip? What about priorities?
Hang on, Colonel. Here goes.
Hey, it's dark. Let me out of here. Where am I, anyway?
You're in a big box. 18 by 18, way out in space, a million miles from nowhere.
Oh, yeah? You had me scared there for a moment. But you can't kid me. This box is right on the ground. My feet are on the floor. Good old terracotta.
Don't bet on it.
That gravity pulling things to the Earth, chum, has got me by the ankles. Sorry to spoil the act, Mr. Fatiman.
But you're out in space, Colonel. There's no force of gravity. There's just a big rope pulling your box up at the rate of 32 feet per second and accelerating at the rate of 32 feet per second, taking you up with it.
Elevator service yet.
And remember, there's no gravity, and you're a million miles out in space.
Says you. I'll take my shoe off. You hear that? The shoe fell to the floor. I say that's gravity.
Is it? Your shoe stayed right in the middle of space. The floor came up to meet the shoe. You're being pulled up, up, up.
Hey, hey, is that a fact?
It is.
Hey, listen, get me out of here. Get me out!
Nice ride, wasn't it, Colonel?
Oh.
You were sure you were under the influence of gravity. But all I saw was the box being pulled upward. Well, in the same way, Einstein reasoned, suppose we go beyond the thinking of earthbound man. Might not an observer out in space see the thing we call gravity as the simple result of motion?
Simple, ain't it, Mr. Fadden?
Very.
Gravity ain't gravity. Time is the fourth dimension. Motion is relative. All I can say is...
The measurements of motion are relative.
The measurements of motion are relative.
Right. Now, do you think you understand the Einstein theory now?
I think I understand it, but that's only the Stupstein theory that I understand.
Well, let's try to summarize with some questions and see whether you've really been on your toes. First, what about absolute motion?
My friend Einstein says it's impossible to measure absolute motion.
Good. Now, second, what about moving objects? Can their movements be measured?
Sure.
How?
Oh, you, if you regard them as relative, one to the other.
Right. Three, what about the speed of light?
The speed of light is nature's basic constant. Okay, huh?
Go to the head of the class. Now let's take a fourth point. Is it possible to distinguish between the result of motion and the effect of gravity?
Einstein says no.
Do you agree with him?
Are you kidding?
Now the fifth point. What about time?
Time is the fourth dimension.
Dimension of what?
Oh, yeah, I almost slipped. A dimension of measurement.
Right. Well, Colonel, I guess you do understand five of the chief points about the Einstein theory. And speaking of time, there's no better time than now to make an important announcement. Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, beginning with today's broadcast, you may purchase a printed transcript of each week's Human Adventure for 10 cents a copy or 13 weeks subscription for $1. Published by the Encyclopedia Britannica, the transcript will contain a complete word-for-word reprint of the broadcast, together with an explanatory introduction, references to books and magazine articles, questions and answers, and qualifying footnotes. Please address your orders to The Human Adventure, Post Office Box 786, Chicago, Illinois. I'll repeat that. Please address your orders to The Human Adventure, Post Office Box 786, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, Colonel, I guess that about winds things up.
I've been wound up for half an hour. I'm like a watch spring. Any minute, I'll go cuckoo.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
What would you say?
It's been nice meeting you.
Well, it's been nice meeting you, too, I think.
Well, any more questions about the Einstein theory?
I'd like to know one more thing about the Einstein theory. What good is it?
What good is it? Well, for one thing, the making of the atomic bomb and the release of atomic power for man's needs would have been impossible without the Einstein theory. Einstein's work covered both electrical and gravitational phenomena. It led to the formula by which we calculate the energy in an atom. Its energy is equal to its mass times the square of the velocity of light. You remember the absolute speed of light, Colonel. Now maybe you begin to see how tremendously useful, apparently useless knowledge can be. But it's not only a matter of atomic bombs and atomic power. Without the Einstein theory, many questions in astronomy, electricity, mathematics, and physics would be as yet unanswered. And in each of these fields, knowledge which may look useless at first becomes of great practical use. It changes our standards of living, our jobs, our society, our lives. The Einstein theory typifies the way in which the most theoretical side of science ultimately produces the great practical results. It represents the essence of science. It gives us a better understanding of the world and a better world in which to live. That is the human adventure. Re-
recently, we announced that we had resumed making the famous Revere copper-clad stainless steelware. Already, we are hearing from friends who are distressed because they're unable to find them. Sorry, they're not on sale yet. It takes time to make these wonderful utensils, so please wait just a few more weeks. When you get them, you'll wonder how anything so beautiful could be so practical, too. A miracle of Revere metallurgy, these utensils combine all the cooking magic of copper with a lasting silver-like luster of stainless steel. They give you a new cooking touch. You forget about pots that burn through, pans that slip out of your hands, spoiled foods, crusted utensils. You wonder why you ever thought pots and pans were hard to clean. And best of all, you know that Revere ware is practically indestructible. For years of bright cooking magic, wait till Revere ware makes its appearance soon at your favorite department or hardware store. Produced and directed by Sherman Dreyer, today's human adventure came to you from Mutual's Guild Theater in New York. Be sure to listen next week to the dramatic story of medical science against smallpox. Remember, you may purchase the complete transcript of today's broadcast on the Einstein Theory for 10 cents in coin or a 13-week subscription for $1 by writing to the Human Adventure, Post Office Box 786, Chicago, Illinois. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.